This is Money Roots, the podcast where Amy Irvine and her team keep money conversations real, relatable, and rooted in your goals. Let's grow together.
Welcome back, Money Roots listener. I have the distinct privilege of having Maddie Roche here today on the podcast. Maddie and I go way back, probably about 10 years at this point in time. Sorry to say, Maddie, but not sorry to say, because I'm thrilled to have you here. Maddie is the Chief Growth Officer for Child Free Trust. Okay, so that's a mouthful. Maddie, so excited to have you here. For those that don't know, Maddie actually used to work for XY Planning Network and XYPN, and that's where we initially met. Has moved into a different role with a different company, as I mentioned, Child Free Trust. Maddie, tell us about this. First of all, super excited about this new company that you're involved in, because as a individual, my husband and I do not have children, and I have a lot of clients that don't have children. This is actually a problem. You know, a lot of people say, oh, it must be so easy to plan for estate planning purposes when you don't have kids. I'm like, yeah, like who do you leave your stuff to? It's actually a big problem. So let's actually talk about what your company is doing. I'm so excited about it. And some of the problems that you're actually helping us solve.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Amy, for having me on. And hello, listeners. Amy, I have adored you for 10 years. It is so fun to be on the podcast with you. And you and I share that. We both are child-free women. And you work with people that don't have kids as well. And there are 25% of Americans don't have kids, either by choice or by circumstance. And yes, to your point, estate planning can be simple. It should be simple for child-free people. But they run up against what we call the fiduciary void, which is a lack of representation for who can step in and act on their behalf when they can't. So we're talking about if there's a medical emergency, if there's cognitive decline, or if there's death. Who makes decisions and makes sure that their estate is settled? And who even lets their dog out if there's an emergency? Those are all questions that come up when we start talking about emergency planning and estate planning with child-free people. So for the past several years, Child-Free Trust has been in the making to solve that problem. We are the first nationwide solution to be able to offer medical power of attorney, financial power of attorney, executor and trustee services exclusively for child-free people. And when I say nationwide, really, we can work in all 50 states, which is really kind of the challenge, is that individual states, maybe California and Arizona, have professional fiduciary programs where you could appoint a fiduciary to be a medical power of attorney for you, but not all states have those programs. And the challenge, a lot of trust companies would act as your financial power of attorney, executor, and trustee, but they have a financial interest in it. They want to manage your assets. And unfortunately, fortunately for us, child-free people are often dying with zero, which means that they're deaccumulating their assets at some point. And so we're not financially attractive to traditional trust services. And that is if you have the minimum net worth requirements, things like that, to even meet their standards. So there's a big gap in the industry and service for people without kids when it comes to who can I actually list to act on my behalf. And so with Child Free Trust, you're going to be able to create your estate documentation. So your trust, your will, your POAs, and then be able to nominate us as primary or backup in all four of those roles. Once those documents are signed, sealed, notarized, and delivered, you are able to create your care plans within our system, which is everything from who your dog walker is to what kind of medications you're on and who your prescribing doctor is, any diagnoses that you have, where your safe deposit key is, to what you want your obituary to say. We have a beautiful interview that will walk people through a lot of the things that they don't even consider when they start thinking about what happens in an emergency. So we're really honored to finally bring this solution to market and show that child-free people should have services like this available to them.
Yeah. And you haven't officially like opened the doors yet. That's coming in January. If I understand, it's January 5th is when the official date actually happens. But when that, so obviously it's got to be electronic, right? I mean, if you're working in all 50 states, this is something that is done electronically. So if I live in, like a person like me, I have residents in Florida, I have residents in New York, it doesn't matter where I'm located. I'm able to share all of this information digitally, and wherever I'm at, whoever is appointed would be able to get into the information and be able to help me with whatever's going on, regardless of my location, which is what makes this work, right? Because it's not location specific. Like, it can be anywhere. I could be traveling, and exactly, if something happened to me, this could actually be beneficial. There would be somebody that I would imagine that I would have something that is a reference point of like, hey, if, you know, that in case of an emergency, like contact, you know, this person kind of sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah. I always tell my clients to have in their glove department and in, usually in their purse when they're traveling, sort of that in case of emergency little card that, you know, who should they contact if they're unable to speak on behalf of themselves. And this would just be something that they would have in addition to that, correct?
That's exactly it. That's great advice, Amy. Once you sign up and enroll as a member of Child Free Trust, you'll receive a membership kit that will include a number of different, in case of emergency cards, referral cards, and business card size things to keep in your wallet. Some EMTs look for things in your freezer.
We boxes. Want them
with your points of contact. We have a 24/7 emergency line so that in the case of an emergency, our partner trust company will pick up, verify you're a member, and immediately begin to act on your behalf. So that means sending medical documents, the POA, over to the hospital that you're at, so that they have something to base their decisions on and a point of contact to make those decisions.
Yeah, I mean, that could be even if you're in another country, right? I mean, so if I was traveling internationally and, you know, Maddie, you and I have the same interest in hiking, right? And I fell and hurt myself, like that would be something that if Brent wasn't able to speak on my behalf, that somebody would be able to say, oh, she has an allergy, like that's the importance of it. So I didn't realize, which is great, that you actually have business cards, like business size cards that people can put in their wallet or in their glove boxes. Or I forgot about the freezer thing. I forgot that people put that in there. So that's a great a kit that people actually get in addition to not just the service, but some recommendations of what they need to do or how they need to lay things out. And unlike when people have children, so usually if they, you know, if we're dealing with couples that do have children, we say, okay, make sure your children know where you keep your important documents. Well, when you don't have children, we usually say, well, make sure a family member or whoever your power of attorney, whoever your healthcare proxy is, whoever, you know, you're assigning in that role, make sure that they have those documentation or that documentation. But they often, you know, aren't traveling with you, or maybe they're of the same age group. That's usually the problem that we have when we're working with clients that are childless, is that they're asking people that are of the same age group to serve in those capacities that are, you know, and what's happening with that same age group, right? They're experiencing the same health problems. They're, you know, having the same issues that the people that we're asking to serve for. So this takes that out, and there's continuity, right? So it doesn't matter if there's any health events, there's that continuity of care that continues. So you don't have to worry about changing names in those documents if something happens to that person. So it just kind of continues. That's why a lot of people name trust companies, because you don't have to worry about the change. So in this situation, again, you don't have to worry about somebody changing names in the documents.
Yeah. And to that point, you can always update your estate documents for no additional fee in our system. We really want to make sure, and we'll be prompting people regularly, that if there have been material changes to your life, you've moved, maybe you've gotten a divorce, something like that, that you update your estate documents right away and you don't delay on it. I know some people do, because it's like, oh, I got to pay the attorney again to recreate the documents. We make that really seamless in our system to be able to do. And the challenge of identifying an individual, whether they're a friend or a niece or nephew, is that there is a fiduciary responsibility to all four of those roles. And as much as we want to be able to support our aunt, do we really have the capacity, bandwidth, and understanding of what that role means to be able to act on someone's behalf? And then do we really know what their wishes are? I know when I nominated my POA, although she's my partner, I don't know if I've ever actually outlined my wishes to her. And that can be a challenge because then you may be at the discretion of their emotional state. I know that it's very common for, say a same-sex couple maybe not to have been accepted by their family. And in the case of an emergency, can we trust that the family will actually follow their wishes if they didn't accept them while there wasn't an emergency? So there's just a conflict and potential room for elder abuse. When we put someone down and maybe they think they're on the receiving end of part of your inheritance, will they be inclined to make sure you get the best of care if that estate of yours is dwindling down, things like that?
Well, even to your point, you know, choosing to have somebody's end of life decisions put in your hands is a really emotional decision. I mean, you know, let's say that Brent and I name our, you know, nieces and nephews, and I'm the surviving person. So I'm the final person surviving, and you know, the decision is to, I know I'm pretty clear. Brent knows what I want, but, and I've tried to make it pretty clear what I want to my successive person. But when it comes right down to it, that emotional decision of she doesn't want to live if this is happening, for them to make that decision, I think is going to be really hard because there is that love that's there, you know, and there's a lot of guilt that comes with honoring that decision, even though it's my decision that I'm asking them to honor. It's still asking them to end my life, right? Not physically end it, but to make decisions that will end my life. And I think that's really hard for a loved one to do. I mean, having served, you know, having seen family members, like, you know, like when my husband's parents were at the end of their lives and hospice came in and helped guide us through that process, it was still really, really hard to watch their lives dwindle, right? It was really challenging and emotional to see that them go like that. And so, and we had their guidance. If somebody has to physically like make a decision, I think about that and think, gosh, do I want to put that on somebody, a person, like a loved one, you know, if I can put that on an entity, I guess I would rather put it on an entity versus a person than personally. That's the way I look at it. So that's what your service is doing, is it's taking it out of a loved one's hands and putting it into entity's hands based on the conversations that I've had. Like if I'm never going to wake up, or if I'm never going to be able to, you know, ever be able to be mobile again, or, you know, whatever the decisions are that I make, you know, with you, then that, you know, what those decisions are, and those were clear at the time of the discussion, then the emotion is taken out of those decisions. Those are hard. I mean, even just talking about this with
it's
emotionally challenging, right? I mean, it's not something fun to have conversations about.
It's why 75% of Americans don't have an updated will. That, Amy. It is hard to think about. And I really want to reframe estate planning as emergency planning, because it's not just about death. And as hard as, you know, incapacitation and cognitive decline can have, there are, you know, the experiences like the proverbial bus and things like that, where you may only need medical POA services for a short time. And we don't have to be the primary, we can just be the backup. So even if you have your partner there, and maybe they do find it too overwhelming, they could call and our partner trust company would come in. And so the goal is that we really try to neutralize some of this ahead of time, and working with a planner like you can help that, is how do we just talk about the wishes and outline it so that if and when the trust company steps in, everything is clear as day. And then they have a regulated legal obligation to act in your best interest, and they're unbiased. And so they're able to just follow the plan and make sure the actions are taken without that emotion.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. It's the pre-planning component, right? It's making sure that, because it could be, like you said, like, let's put the positive spin on it. It could be just a temporary situation where, you know, let's say a car accident, you know, situation where there's a temporary inability to make all the decisions that are just so overwhelming. And also, you know, sometimes you're making decisions that you don't have that medical background. Like, that's part of the process too, is that you're being asked to make decisions that are very big decisions. And, you know, I'm not a medical person. I'm a finance person. So if I was being asked to make medical decisions on my husband, based on my husband's, you know, situation, I don't know. I mean, I would take what the doctors have to say, but I don't really understand all of that. Mm-hmm. I would try, but boy, if I had somebody I could ask to step in and maybe be a third party to say, hey, you know, my emotional state of mind, because my husband's laying here right now, isn't the best. Maybe you could step in and actually be that person serving in that capacity right now, because my emotional state of mind isn't there. I'm just not clearly making decisions. Stress is a inhibitor, right? So yep. I just need that support right now. So, I mean, that could be another good way to sort of pre-plan and think ahead. That could be a really good way to pre-plan.
Yeah. And there's 15 million Americans over 55 without children. And when we look at the group of people that are either estranged from their
family. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Say that again. 15 million?
Over 55 don't have children. So it's a huge market. It's a huge underserved market in so many ways. But then when we add the components of, are they estranged from family? Do they live within 5 hours of that family? We're still left with over 2 million people that are in dire need of this kind of service. So there may be people who are like, oh, I maybe have my niece to act as this and maybe this. There is a large group of our population that are either solo aging or don't have family nearby to be able to step in. So the need is big. We do see cases, and some of our first users will be younger people that really have been intentional, because we know child-free people tend to be intentional about kind of their wishes, that want this kind of peace of mind for as long as they need it, just to know it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the moment that you told me this was the new venture that you were experiencing, I was like, tell me when you're live, tell me when you're live, tell me when you're live. Right. Because I mean, you know, we have somebody named, but at the same time, it would be nice if we didn't have to put them in that position. Yeah. Right. Brent and I would love to be able to remove them from that kind of position and ask them not to have to serve in that capacity. So I just didn't realize that it was
as it.
Right. Give them, right. At least do that. Right. So, but at the same time, I didn't realize it was 15 million. And to be clear, Child Free Trust is only working with people that have no children, right? It's not the estranged situations. It's only people that don't have children.
Correct. And we define child free as people with no living biological or adopted children. So there's a lot of cases where people have gotten married as older adults. Maybe their spouse has grown adult children. If they haven't adopted them, they still qualify. Now, their partner doesn't, but that individual that still has never had living adopted or biological children would qualify. And we've done this from a number of different angles, but most importantly, because they're the ones most in need.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're saying that there's a growing number of people like in their 20s and 30s too that have, you know, that need to get something in writing. They've probably named their parents potentially as decision makers and would like to remove that component from the table. And then there's those of us that are in, you know, maybe our 50s timeframe or even in early 60s that are maybe redrafting our documents at this point in time and saying, okay, yeah, we've had our nieces and nephews and maybe it's time to either have a backup because now this is becoming available, or maybe we don't want to have them as our primary just simply because, you know, they've got a life full of a lot of other things that are keeping them busy. That's the other component that I guess I just wanted to bring up, is that when we're asking people to serve in that capacity, whether it's as the executor or executrix or financial power of attorney or healthcare power of attorney, we're asking people to take on additional responsibilities in their lives, and their lives are already busy, right? So we're we're asking them to take on all of this stuff on top of what's already going on in their lives. And it's not something that's just that easy. I mean, it is additional work. There's paperwork involved. There's documentation. There's sometimes, you know, there's court papers that have to be filed. There's signing off on documents that has to be done. It's not like it just takes a minute to do. There's conference calls that need to take place. This is work. This is, and oftentimes not paid, but well, they can be paid, but like they don't, right? And that's not fair either.
Yeah. And there's legal responsibility too. You know, there's liability responsibility, or there's liability you have to be able to act quickly and swiftly in these cases. And that brings up the problem of scalability of, you know, resting these roles on one individual. Even the great programs in California and Arizona, you're still only nominating one individual. If that individual mm-hmm. is on vacation, what happens? Mm-hmm. If that individual is at capacity and has competing priorities, what happens? So part of the benefit of working with a third party entity like a trust company, they can scale quickly and make sure that the staffing is available for the growing need. Mm-hmm. There was a study recently that younger people, Gen Z, that we're seeing come out with like 50% child-free rates versus the 38% rates that we see in these other generations are actually much more inclined to work with an unbiased third party. And, you know, one of the objections I hear is like, ooh, it feels impersonal. And that's true. You are identifying a third party to act on your behalf. You won't know the exact individual at the time of an emergency who's acting on your behalf, but you can trust that they've been staffed and vetted by the trust company. Mm-hmm. And that trust company is audited, and they have rules and regulations mm-hmm. to follow and are audited to make mm-hmm. sure that they're moving in the right direction.
Well, that's the whole point though, isn't it? I mean, isn't it the impersonal part that you sort of want? I mean, that's kind of the point of it. Like, I want somebody to be impersonal and impartial. Like if I'm asking somebody to serve in that capacity, I actually don't want them to be personal. That's the whole point. Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm asking that. Yeah. I'm paying them to be that way. So that's the whole point of it. That's
you give us, the better your care can be. Because if you already are on a wait list for a residential community, you've already outlined your wishes at end of life, they'll be able to act that way. If not, mm-hmm. they'll be able to make a fiduciary call on what is in the best interest. But ultimately, mm-hmm. you can spend the next 20 years filling out every detail of those care plans so that mm-hmm. it is very easy for them to execute.
And also the bill paying component, right? I mean, that's another component that's incorporated within the services that are offered. So even if you're let's say the diminished, like you're able to take care of yourself as far as like hygiene wise, but you're missing a few things with maybe a few payments here or there, or maybe you just don't want to do it anymore. I mean, that could be a component of it too, but the bill payment side of it is often one of the components that I see start to slip a little bit. That's something you can step in and take care of, just making sure that things are done, that there's nothing missed. That's an important component because we talked about, I don't know if people understand that as a financial power of attorney, bill payment is a big safety component, making sure the lights don't get turned off, making sure the gas doesn't get turned off, making sure the rent still gets paid, you know, that you don't get evicted if you're able to stay in those different facilities or rent, or, you know, making sure the caregiver that's coming in still takes care of you. Those are all really important components of the financial side. So, you know, that's a piece that I don't think people are realizing, that you're not just writing the checks, but it is the management component of it.
Yep, exactly. And that is traditional trust execution. I mean, that mm-hmm. is a lot of what traditionally trust will do, is be able to step in and make sure that things continue to move on the financial side.
Well, Maddie, I am super excited about the launch of this. As I mentioned, I've probably said it 3 times in this podcast. This has been a needed service, I will say. And I've been bragging this up to several clients that this is going to be something that's launched. Brent and I have been talking about it. I can't wait to hear more and hear that it goes live. And I know we'll be in touch after the go-go date, as we say. And You know, I'll put a link to the website in the show notes so that people can, you know, learn more about it. And then after it's actually live, I'll put a note in our newsletter so that anybody that wants to learn more about it specifically, they'll have some information. And of course, any of our clients that are listeners that it would be applicable to, we'll be bringing it up in meetings with them. But I just want to say thank you so much. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you think is important for us to be sharing today on this podcast?
No, I appreciate the conversation. I'm so passionate about this because it's such an area that's ripe for education and encouragement to kind of rebrand estate planning into something that's less scary and more accessible. We are $999 a year. And some people may be shocked at that price point. Others might say, like, wow, what a steal. The thing to consider is that $999 includes all the documentation as frequently as needed, the care documents, that representation when needed. There's hourly associated fees with the actual POA services when executed. Mm-hmm. But just to consider that, you know, this, as you age without children, this is one of the things you're going to have mm-hmm. to think about, and it will cost mm-hmm. To have that kind of relationship. But we're honored to bring it to market. We trust that people really do need the service. I see the emails in my inbox of people. You go into any Reddit forums or Facebook groups, you know, solo agers, elder orphans, things like that. There's a big part of our community that deserves this kind of support. So thank you for being an advocate, and thanks for the great work you do, Amy.
Yeah. There was actually just the AARP newsletter that just came out this month actually had a whole spread on solo agers. So take a look at that, because
it was a
good article.
Yeah, that is Sarah Zeff Gubber, Dr. Sarah Zeff Gubber. She is an advisor to us in the aging space. We are so thankful for her guidance in this. She coined the term solo ager and has really brought to this industry and others this idea that there is a community that is aging alone. So I'm so glad you mentioned that, and thank you.
Is it sad that that's what I'm reading now today? I just
your market is huge, Jamie.
It just came in the mail yesterday. I guess it was just great timing, but
we will be reading that article as well.
Well, again, thank you so much, Maddie, for being on the show. I really appreciate it, and keep us posted as things progress. Okay.
I will. Thank you, Amy. So appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Money Roots. Until next time, keep your finances grounded and your future growing.